The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Every guy's excited to go play ball and go do our thing.
Where's that energy at here, baby? Let's go. Come on, baby.
Start up individual.
We know what we have in this locker room, and we know what we can be.
Daily, I be on my grind. Hustle, I'ma shine. Win.
You're up, man. It's going to be a fast season, but it's going to be a fun season.
And if that doesn't get you fired up for football, I am not sure what will, as we say hello and welcome into NFL Live. You can see the graphic right there. How long until the NFL season begins? 99 days. We've got Booger McFarland and Tim Hasselbeck, and of course, the man who has all the information, Adam Schefter, joining us. But I am Field Yates, and we are counting down the days. Again, 99 until the Bills travel to Los Angeles to play the champs on Thursday Night Football. We cannot wait for that. And it got us thinking about who's got 99 problems in the NFL. So let's start off with the NFC teams. They've got 99 problems, but blank ain't one. Tim, you're going to start us off with a team. What do we got?
Field, I'm going to do this right to make you happy. Look, the Falcons got 99 problems, but their offensive skill position players ain't one of them. How do you like that? Listen, Drake London, obviously, in the draft this year. You think about his size-speed combination to go along with Kyle Pitts' matchup problem that he creates, Cordell Patterson in the backfield with how they use him. So I just think that when you look at them, and then you even throw a guy like Olamide Zaccheaus in the slot, so good.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Detroit Lions. They got 99 problems, but their physicality ain't one. And we all know they get it from their head coach. You know, Dan Campbell talked about biting knees and ankles and kneecaps and all that. And his team embodies that same personality. Just think about the physical style they had when they went against teams like the Steelers and rushed for 200 yards. They're a physical team, and they get it from their head coach.
Well, Book, the Arizona Cardinals have 99 problems, but Kyler Murray ain't one. He was in the building today. He was on the field during OTAs. And despite any acrimony that existed between the two sides, for right now, Kyler Murray is putting it aside. We've already heard the Cardinals general manager, Steve Keim, say they want to work out a contract extension. And with Murray back in the building, that seems like a good faith show right there for Kyler Murray to be back working with the team. And obviously wanted to get paid this summer. He's back, and that's good news for the Cardinals. He ain't one of their problems, Field.
So, Chef, let me ask you this. Sometimes I feel like with contract negotiations, close can be a subjective term. But does this suggest that they are close to a deal being agreed to?
I don't believe that to be the case. At least that wasn't the case last week. But maybe there were some conversations and enough of a feeling on Kyler Murray's part to go back to work, to be in the building, and to recognize, I think, in a smart way, you know what, it's OTAs, I'm not going to get hurt, I'm going to be there in a good faith effort, and let the Cardinals then handle their business the right way. Look, both sides want to get this done, both sides are going to aim to get this done, and with him being there, it just makes it that much easier to facilitate a deal at some point this summer, whether that's next week, next month, or before the regular season begins, but all sides want the same thing, and now that Kyler is back in the building, I just think it makes it that much easier to figure out.
So, Tim, soon enough we're going to be asking probably how big of a deal will Kyler Murray eventually sign with the Arizona Cardinals, but let's talk about how big of a deal it is for him to be there at OTAs. How much does this matter for an Arizona Cardinals team that fell flat on their face at the end of last year?
Yeah, Field, I think in terms of the impact of Kyler getting these reps, being with teammates, things like that, I don't think it's that significant. But where I do think it's significant is in terms of leadership and how you kind of handle, you know, maybe the personal adversity you feel like you're facing with your football team, because he's going to have teammates that face it. They're going to have contract issues. And so, you know, I think the fact that both the team and the player want to get something done, and the fact that, you know, it gives him an opportunity to kind of be a good example for how how to handle it when, listen, let's be honest, he's going to be there. Like, they don't want him to leave. He wants to get paid. He's eventually going to get paid. All this really is going to take is some patience. And so I think by kind of being a leader through that, that'll serve him and the rest of his team better in the long run.
Yeah, and I think as long as Cliff Kingsbury is the head coach and Steve Keim is the GM, that Kyler Murray is going to be the quarterback. Like, they built the entire system around him, and so I think he's going to be there. OTAs, guys, listen, it's about team morale. It's about camaraderie. There's really not a lot that's going to be accomplished from a football standpoint in the OTAs. Football is played at the quarterback position with the inherent nature knowing that the guys on the other side of the line have the ability to knock my block off. And that doesn't happen in OTA. So regardless of what happens at the quarterback position, y'all out there, Tim, y'all got the chin strap unbuckled. Y'all not really worried about anything. So it's really just for show with all your teammates that the quarterback and the big money players are there. Other than that, there's really not a lot that's going to be accomplished in OTAs and shorts and unbuckled chin strap like the quarterbacks normally like to do and drink water and talk about their suntan and their beach house. Other than that, nothing's going on.
Hey, real quick, Boog, these guys aren't wearing pads either, so the big guys are just belly bumping, man. Don't make it all like it's just easy for the QBs.
OTAs at least give us some content as well, as we are always open to here on NFL Live. Let's move from the Arizona Cardinals to another team in the division. The kings of the division, as a matter of fact, the Los Angeles Rams, and they're continuing to work through their own OTAs right now. One player who has been a subject of conversation is, of course, all everything defensive tackle Aaron Donald. He's expressed some questions about his future, has also talked about his contract, which certainly seems like it needs to be addressed. Here's his head coach, Sean McVay, on the latest with Donald.
Why don't you ask him? No, you know, I think so. Yeah, I think that's the plan right now. We'll see. I sure hope so I don't have to answer your questions next week about it. No, I think he'll be here, Kevin. That's the plan.
He did mention, too, he's going to be at your wedding.
Oh, yeah. So he better be at the minicamp next week.
That's this week, right?
It's this weekend. Yeah. So excited about that. And, we're going to have some fun. It's been a long time coming. I feel like I've been engaged for about 12 years. Well, it's been 3 years, and it's not. That's for a lot of different reasons. But I'm just glad she hasn't changed her mind yet. Thanks, guys.
All right, so the question McVay was asked, by the way, was whether Aaron Donald would be at minicamp next week. It's mandatory. You get fined if you're not there. I think we know the answer to that one. But, Shefty, let's talk specifically about Aaron Donald and the latest. Do the Rams have money to pay this guy, given all the other players that they have already committed to or are planning to commit to, like potentially Cooper Kupp as well?
Well, Phil, before we get to that, let's go over some important points there. Number one, Aaron Donald is going to be at Sean McVay's wedding this weekend. Number two, Sean McVay said he's going to be married. It feels like he's been engaged for 12 years. I wonder if this wedding is still going to be on once his wife or his fiance hears about that comment. But once we get past that, we can move on to the business of things. And the business of things between Aaron Donald and the Rams is the fact that the two sides have been talking all along. Both sides want to get this done, like Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. And it's hard to imagine that they wouldn't figure out a solution when Donald is scheduled to make $14 million this year already, has 3 years left in his contract, and the Rams have planned for this and budgeted for this and planned for the fact that somehow, some way, they would find a way to pay arguably the best defensive player in all of football. Now, he has the chance and the option to withhold his services, but he's not going to withhold them Saturday night in L.A. He's going to be at Sean McVay's wedding. Doesn't sound like he's going to withhold them next week for the minicamp. And I would guess that when the regular season begins, that Aaron Donald will be amongst the highest paid defensive players in football and not withholding his services then either.
I think the fact that Sean McVay has been engaged 3 years, to me, I need to have a conversation with him. I'd set the over-under at 3 for all 3 of us married men on this set. As far as Aaron Donald is concerned, here's what I'd say. Aaron Donald is not going to turn down $30 million per year. Let's just say they get close at 29. You mean to tell me that Aaron Donald is going to retire and walk away? This is much to do about nothing. This is about Aaron Donald posturing throughout the media or through the media to make sure that he gets his $28, $29, $30 million a year. And he's the highest paid defensive player maybe in the history of football. So it's going to happen. It's just a matter of time, Tim.
Yeah, Boog, you know the deal. No matter how much money you made, $30 million is still a lot of money. Look, here's what I would say, too, as it relates to the Rams, and you can almost kind of you know, see Sean McVay talking about it. They're a Super Bowl contending team with them. Without him, they are not. And it's why when you talk about the money bug and maybe the benchmarks that get set for a defensive player, look, he's valuable. You know, one of the best things you can say about a quarterback is he makes the guys around him better. I think you can actually say that about
not
Aaron Donald.
Depp.
I think
Johnny
he's
Depp.
So disruptive. He requires so much attention that look, it creates good opportunities for other guys. I think the secondary plays with an anticipation that the ball's got to come out quickly. And those things are important to make a defense good or at times a championship level, which the Rams certainly were a year ago.
I said this yesterday. I'll repeat it again. Whatever the highest paid non-quarterback is, that would be TJ Watt. Just add like a handful of million dollars more per year and you probably make Aaron Donald very happy. He is deserving of it. There's still a lot going on around the NFL as we begin the month of June. And, of course, we've got the man who knows all, Shefty, with us. So, Shefty, let's get to the latest in terms of top storylines, beginning with the Texans and some amazing donations.
Yeah, how about the Houston Texans Players Field? They rallied together to raise $200,000 for the victims of Uvalde, Texas. And then the Houston Texans organization itself matched that $200,000, making it $400,000 to that area, which is certainly in need of money and emotional support and all the help it can get. But a great gesture by the Houston Texans players and the Texans organization today. Earlier today, the Pittsburgh Steelers defensive end Stephon Tuitt, who had 11 sacks last season, was only 29 years old, announced he's retiring from the NFL, going to use his Notre Dame degree, going to move ahead with his life. It was a difficult decision. His teammates will obviously miss him. He's been a really good player, former first-round draft pick for that team, but he just felt like he was being called to do something other than play football at this time in his life. Stephon Tuitt becomes the latest player to walk away from the game, almost in the prime of his career. And also today, the Capitol Hill summoned Roger Goodell and Dan Snyder, requested their presence to testify at a congressional hearing. Now, again, their presence has been requested. It doesn't mean that Roger Goodell and Dan Snyder will appear on Capitol Hill later this month, but Congress would like some answers as to the culture that existed in the Washington organization. The NFL maintains that it's turned over hundreds of thousands of pages of documents, that it's done an investigation, but Congress wants more answers and has requested the presence of both Roger Goodell and Dan Snyder.
See where that story moves next, as we have a developing story here on NFL Live. Another woman has filed a lawsuit against Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson, joining 22 others who accused him in civil cases filed in 2021 of inappropriate sexual conduct during massage sessions. In the 23rd civil case filed Tuesday in Texas against Watson, the lawsuit states the plaintiff had her first massage sessions with Watson during the summer of 2020 and that his, quote, behavior grew worse. According to the lawsuit, the woman changed her mind about suing Watson after watching HBO's Real Sports with Brian Gumbel last week.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Today is Madden Day in the NFL gaming world, and the cover has been officially released. This year, John Madden returns to the cover of EA Sports Madden NFL 23, an amazing tribute as what's more synonymous with Madden than Madden himself, and of course, the 99 rating, as we are now 99 days until kickoff of the 2022 NFL regular season. So we're asking this question: who deserves the 99 rating in the special year of EA Madden NFL 23? Boog, we'll start with you.
Well, I think it's the guy that wears number 99. He's the most dominant player at any position in football, and that's Aaron Donald. He doesn't need any help. He doesn't need to throw a football. He doesn't need to catch it. You put him on the defensive line, you line his hand up, and he can absolutely dominate in any offensive line from center, guard to tackle. To me, he's the most dominant player in the NFL.
Great choice, Boog. How about the Indianapolis Colts running back Jonathan Taylor being a 99? last year, had the tremendous year, is likely to be the top pick in most fantasy drafts across the country this year. Not sure whether Joc Pederson and Tommy Pham will be fighting over him and who will be able to pick him, but Jonathan Taylor is as close to a 99 this year as you could possibly get and worthy of a rating that high in the Madden game.
I like it, Adam. A little bit off the radar. Guy I'm choosing is on the radar. That's Aaron Rodgers. Think about what he's done the last four seasons, guys. 136 touchdowns and 15 interceptions. Like, there has never been a stretch by a quarterback with that type of touchdown to interception ratio. Basically, 9 touchdowns for every interception he throws. It's an insane amount of production. He's been so good at being aggressive with the ball, but yet protecting the football. He would easily get a 99.
Yeah, I'll give all those guys a 99 as well. And you mentioned Aaron Rodgers, Tim. That's particularly notable because tonight the match takes place on TNT, featuring four of the NFL's best quarterbacks, the Young Bucks, Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, take on the seasoned veterans, Tom Brady, and the aforementioned Aaron Rodgers. It's a golf match. It's in Las Vegas tonight. You know, as for Aaron Rodgers, a much-anticipated match between the old guys and the young guys as Rodgers and Brady square off against Josh Allen, Todd Patrick Mahomes. Let's get to some of the trash talk here because there has been no shortage of it. Here's what Aaron Rodgers had to say. Not a fair fight, me and Tom Brady versus Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. Tom Brady, tired of people saying my golf videos are fake. This stuff is easy, like FTX official, or beating Patrick Mahomes when it matters, or Josh Allen, literally anytime we play. This is ice cold. Mahomes responds back, I need to talk to whoever wrote this joke with the frustrated and the crying laughing emoji. So this got us thinking, who would we want to take in the NFL in certain situations? And we have our very fancy touchscreen right here. Tim, we'll start with you. Longest drive, best arm, who you got?
Listen, I'm going with Josh Allen here. I mean, to me, all these guys have the ability to throw the football the way that most people aren't blessed to throw the football. But I think in terms of just being able to power the ball to all areas of the field, I mean, I don't know who else I've seen that throws it like Josh Allen, to be honest with you. And, you know, when you think that he does it oftentimes after being used as a runner, I think it makes it even more impressive. And so, you know, for the long ball, it's got to be Josh Allen for me.
All right, well, you got to pay off your long drives with a good short game. So, Boog, who do you think has the best short game or is best in the red zone?
Yeah, I'm going to go with a guy that can also hurt you not only with his arm but with his legs. I'm going to go with Patrick Mahomes. How many times have we seen him in the red zone, drop back, roll to the left, spin around, go to the right, and hit somebody in the back of the end zone? I just think his creativity, not only in the pocket but outside of the pocket, and his ability to buy time and allow his receivers to open up, Patrick Mahomes, how could you not like it? And we all know that if your short game is not good, it really doesn't matter how far you hit the ball, Hasselback. It doesn't matter. You got to have great short game. You got to have good chipping, good wedge play, and you better be able to putt the lights out of it.
But look, who doesn't have a great short game other than Aaron Rodgers? I mean, we see him throw these short passes all the time, on the money, accurate. Aaron Rodgers' short game would seem to be on. He'll have a chance to prove it later on during the match. He'll have a chance to prove it again during the season. But Aaron Rodgers has got the short game going, too.
Well, how about Josh Allen's ability to run inside the 5-yard line? I mean, he essentially does what Cam Newton did. I'd give that one to Josh Allen as well.
I could just vote for Tom Brady just to round things out, make things even. But, you know, Tom Brady will, I'm sure, find his way onto this touchscreen. So, Shep, let me ask you this. Who do you think is the best out of the rough or under pressure, so to speak, in football terms?
Well, that might be the best in history. I mean, we don't even need to answer this, Phil. Everybody knows
this
Tom
guy, right?
Brady.
Yeah.
Just look at the Super Bowl history. Look at the playoff history. Look at what he's done in tight games. Look at the fourth quarter comebacks. Look at his body of work. Look at all the passes he's done. Look at everything he's ever done. That's why he's the GOAT, because he's been in those situations so many times, and it's so rare that he doesn't deliver. We've come to expect it. He's great out of the rough. He's great in pressure situations. He's Tom Brady.
And, Boog, along those same lines, I think I know the answer to this, but who are you taking in a playoff? You know, we saw a playoff not that long ago in a major championship in golf. Who are you taking in the playoffs, or sudden death, so to speak?
If there's one drive and I have to give the ball to a quarterback to save old Boog's life, I'm giving it to Tom Brady. Like, the guy's been there, he's done that under pressure, in the playoffs, 2-minute drive. whatever situation you want to create that pressure is involved in, Tom Brady has proven he is a pressure player, and I'm going to trust him. And plus, I got to believe that later on tonight, when Tom Brady steps on the tee, that all these little golf tricks and golf shots he's been doing, he better show up and show us that he has some golf game also.
Okay. Well, you know, the thing about golf is that it's best enjoyed with someone you care for, someone you enjoy being around. So, Tim, which of these quarterbacks would you most want to golf with?
You know, I thought about this for a while, Phil. Like this one, I'm going Patrick Mahomes here, and for you know, a variety of reasons. But you know, he's a new parent, so I think he'd be kind of fun to be out on the course with, right? Like he like the hall pass. Phil, you might know what I'm talking about. The hall pass to get out on the course for 4 hours with no parental responsibilities. Like he seems like a guy like not take it too seriously, enjoy it. He's super talented. You know, I think it's enough there.
Well, I think you have to go Tom Brady because if you ever have the chance to have a hole-in-one, you know his film crew is going to be there to document it, Field.
That's very
Not
true.
To mention all the great stories that he'd have to tell, all the world experiences, the maturity, the wisdom. Tom Brady.
I don't know about you guys, but when I play golf, I want to win. I don't want to play with quarterbacks. These guys are all too good. I don't want to play with any of them. I want to play with a guy that I know I can beat. Let me play with Shefty, and I promise you, when I leave the golf course, I'll feel great.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
ESPN kicks off 50-50 months today, honoring the first 50 years of Title IX and the women moving the world forward. Tonight on ESPN2, you can see a series of 5 short films focused on the fight for women's equality across the sports and cultural landscape. Let Nor Run tells the story of a 17-year-old cross-country runner who, after a race disqualification, started an initiative to protect runners like herself.
I was racing varsity, and it was like the top 7 runners on the team were racing in districts. And I was training so hard, just trying to keep up with the fastest girls on the team. All I cared was that I was there, and I was gonna have the race of my life. And then the announcer announces that our team made it to regionals. And then we were like, what? That's amazing. Like, it's so great, you know? Then we were like, let's go check our individual placing. And I'm looking for my name. And I was like, you guys, my name's not on the list. And then that's when they told me, they were like, you were disqualified. I was like, man, it must be because I'm wearing this bracelet. And they were like, no, it's because of your hijab.
Tune in tonight to see Let Nor Run and all the 50-50 shorts, beginning at 9:30 Eastern on ESPN2. All right, time now for some read and react, starting with Browns defensive end Myles Garrett. And he was asked whether or not he recruited Jadeveon Clowney to be back with the Cleveland Browns on a 1-year deal. Here's what he had to say.
Nah, I told him to get his ass here. That was about it. We're probably the best duo in the league as far as, you know, getting pressure, not always, you know, completing the play. I know teams like to get it out a little bit quick against us, but, you know, trying to put pressure on them, getting hands up, you know, just athleticism, the wingspan, you know, causing guys trouble.
So, Book, how scary is this duo for the Browns?
Yeah, I think this duo is outstanding. Myles Garrett, to me, is going to be right up there in the top 2 candidates for Defensive Player of the Year to go along with Aaron Donald. And that's going to allow him and also Jadeveon Clowney to get some one-on-ones. You can't double both of them. So I think they're going to complement each other, ham and egg, so to speak, yin and yang. They work well together. Clowney, quiet as is kept, Clowney had 9 sacks last year, which was outstanding for him. So really, really good duo. Best in the NFL. Let's see if they can do it again next year.
There you go. Putting the pressure on him. So the Giants have taken some heat with their offense, specifically the quarterback position. Davis Webb, who's a backup quarterback on the team, went on with our ESPN Giants NFL Nation reporter Jordan Ronan in his Breaking Blue podcast to discuss what they're doing to turn things around. Have a listen.
You know, you're watching two of the best quarterbacks in the league do it, and you know, you get the opportunity to run similar plays, and we might call it different, we might tweak some things, but you know, the meat of it's there, and you kind of get to see just their ways. You know, I've FaceTimed Pat a couple times, asked him some opinions, and with Daniel sitting next to me, just and Tyrod, just trying to, you know, get some insight on some plays.
So, Tim, basically trying to recreate what Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen have done. Is that a good idea?
Listen, it's a good idea to learn from good quarterbacks. Let me just kind of get that out in the open. Like, it's a good idea to do that. But when you have a coaching staff that comes in and starts to try to, like, show you things that guys do that you can't do, or try to just say, oh, hey, back when I was here, this is how we did it. Like, there's nothing in my experience that turns a player off more from taking coaching than to have a coach come in and be like, well, the last guy that I had that I loved coaching, this is how he did it. This is how I want you to do it. Just like him. You're a different player. Coaching is about getting the most out of the player that's in front of you, not trying to get him to be like the guy who was the guy you coached prior to getting there.
Yeah, I completely agree. Make sure that you accentuate the player that you have, his strengths, to try to minimize his weaknesses. Anytime you're trying to go back and emulate a guy that you used to have, all you're really going to do is piss off the guy that you have right now. So do the best you can with the guy that you have and make him feel special, even if he's not as special as the guy that you used to have.
A critical year ahead for Daniel Jones and the G-Men. As for a team that is not changing quarterbacks that is changing quarterbacks this offseason, the Colts are. And wide receiver Michael Pittman Jr. was asked about his new quarterback, Matt Ryan, and his faith in the veteran at OTAs. Here's what he had to say.
Matt can pretty much put it wherever he wants, so you kind of just catch it, turn, and then run. So he's going to put it where it needs to be. It is good to have this time now, you know, just like the because, like, we didn't have this time with Phil, like, or Carson, because we were kind of all, like, scrambling and didn't know. So I think it's going to help our team building towards the future.
Jeffy, what do you think the expectations would be for Matt Ryan and the Colts this season?
Well, Phil, if you heard Jim Irsay, the Colts owner, talk, he feels like they've gotten their best quarterback since Andrew Luck. And this is a team that was built to win with Luck, and they feel like they can now do this with a quarterback as accomplished and as prolific as Matt Ryan. I think that they feel like they've turned around their entire situation, flipping Carson Wentz to Washington, bringing in Matt Ryan. Colts feel like they'll be right there in the AFC.
Yeah, certainly feels like another competitive year in the AFC South is coming up. Let's get to the nation's capital, where the Commanders are hoping that Carson Wentz can be the answer to their quarterback problem. Here's head coach Ron Rivera on their new signal call.
There are some things that Carson does that, you know, not a lot of other quarterbacks can do, with his arm strength, his ability to throw the ball specifically vertically. So, yeah, do I expect it to step forward? I do. I expect us to be able to really expand on what we've done in the past. This is first year with Carson as a QB1, but I do think we can develop and grow as a group together, offensive, defensive, special teams. But to me, it really does come down to winning.
So Rivera is surely hoping that Carson Wentz can solve the team's struggles at the quarterback spot. Since he took over as their head coach in 2020, the Commanders ranked 30th in team total QBR and 29th in both yards per dropback and touchdowns per pass attempt. They've also started a league-high 6 different quarterbacks over that span. So, Boog, this is the third team in 3 years for Carson Wentz. Does he actually make the Commanders a better team this year?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
No, and I would love to know from Coach Rivera, what are those things that Carson Wentz does that nobody else can do? Maybe it's spin around and throw an interception from your own end zone. I mean, maybe that's what he's talking about.
Wow.
I am tired of coming to all these shows on ESPN and saying, man, what if Carson Wentz can go back to when he was almost the MVP? We haven't seen that guy in years. So let's stop saying and stop wondering whether that guy's going to show up. I would almost be surprised now if that guy shows up. I think the Carson Wentz that we've seen in his last couple stops is the guy that you're more likely to get. And until I see this quote-unquote mythical giant that used to be Carson Wentz from Philadelphia before he hurt his knee out in L.A., I'm not going to believe it. I don't think they're a better team with Carson Wentz because I don't think Wentz is better than he used to be years ago.
Yeah, listen, Book, but he's not the player he once was, but here's what he is. He's better than Taylor Heinicke. Like, plain and simple, I think any way you slice it, he's a significant upgrade at the position over Heinicke. Physically, experience-wise, look, and it's one of the reasons Rivera is talking about the ability to push the ball down the field. You didn't even have that option with Taylor Heinicke. And so I think that, you know, when you look at their receivers, I think they actually just feel like there's more at their disposal. Look, do I think they're going to be a playoff team? No, I don't. But I still think they can be a better football team and have a better quarterback with Wentz there than they were structured to be with Taylor Heinicke.
And the interesting part was how early they went in on Carson Wentz and how aggressive they were to get him when some people were wondering what the Colts were going to do with Wentz. And Washington jumped out there. There were some other teams that had some form of interest, but Washington jumped out there, gave back picks that I don't think the Colts thought that they would be able to get back. Washington placed a big bet on Carson Wentz. And now it's expecting that Wentz is going to deliver. And Boog, I don't mean to say it, but if he goes back to that form, that old form, then the bet will be worth it. And if he doesn't, then Washington is right back to where it started, back in that quarterback market again.
And starting for a new team is nothing new to Carson Wentz. This is now expected to be the third straight year that he opens up as a week one starter for a different team. He'll be just the fifth quarterback since the merger to start for three different teams in consecutive week ones. The first since another former Eagle, Donovan McNabb. Change has been the constant for Wentz, at least of late. We'll have game one of the Eastern Conference Finals for you tonight right here on ESPN and the app. The Rangers host the Lightning. They've been off for 9 days to get ready for this series. Our coverage begins at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific from the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden. Our theme football-wise today is that we're just 99 days away from the start of the NFL's regular season. For a lot of teams with unresolved problems, we get to our AFC edition of We've Got 99 Problems, and Shefty kick us off with the AFC. They've got 99 problems, but what ain't one?
The AFC West, and specifically the quarterbacks in that division, ain't one, Field. Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Justin Herbert, Derek Carr. That division is going to be must-see TV all season long with some of the best quarterbacks in the game. It should be a little bit like some of the AFL shootouts back in the day with these scores flying up. Should be great football. The AFC West is loaded at quarterback.
Well, we probably could have gone like 300 days before kickoff, for, you know, to do this for the Jags. But we'll bring it down to 99. The Jags have 99 problems, but the head coach quarterback combination ain't one of them. Look, they did it right when they drafted Trevor Lawrence. He's going to be a superstar. And then when you look at, you know, adding Doug Peterson as their head coach, I think that combination and the communication between the two, the experience with the position, will help Trevor develop. That's not one of their problems.
And for me, I'm going to look at the Jets. They got 99 problems, but that defensive line is not one. We know about Quinnen Williams inside. You draft Jermaine Johnson. And, oh, by the way, guess who's coming back from injury? Carl Lawson. So you're going to have a plethora of guys that can rush the passer, put that hand down, get in those wide techniques, and get up the field. The Jets defensive line, led by their head coach, who's a defensive guy, is going to be really, really good this season.
All gas and no breaks for the Jets. Let's stay in the AFC. As Dolphins are the first team to begin their mandatory minicamp. That started today. All eyes on quarterback Tua Tagovailoa after Miami acquired wide receiver Tyreek Hill this offseason. Meanwhile, Cam Hayward, Steelers all-pro defensive lineman,
Join the Mean to Kind show, featuring Lenny, of course. He had a hot take on the Dolphins. Take a listen.
I think everybody makes a big deal about what Miami did. And they talk about Tariq coming there. And I just think their offense, they were so ready to trade Tua, and now it's turned into, he can lead the franchise. I don't know how that works, but, it doesn't sound like that's going pretty good.
Interesting stuff there. Cam Hayward has a bright future in the media once he's done dominating in the NFL. But, Tim, I'll ask you this. Do you think the Dolphins' offense is perhaps being overrated right now?
Well, listen, I don't know the ratings. Look, are they better? They have a new head coach who's going to put in a new offense. And I think a lot of it depends on what you think of Tua. I think we got, Cam's assessment of Tua. I would just say this. I think Tua's been kind of unfairly kind of evaluated over 2 years. Big hip injury, has a COVID offseason, competing against a 15-year veteran. Then, coordinators change, obvious dysfunction in Miami. I think it was nearly impossible for any quarterback to succeed. And so I think he'll have his best year. He should have his best year with the talent around him and the new coaching staff. But whatever you thought of Tua coming out of Alabama should probably be how you continue to feel about Tua based on the environment he's been a part of.
Well, the Dolphins need to get the best out of Tua, and they need to also overcome their history. If you look at it, it's amazing. Since Dan Marino left, the Dolphins over the last 20 years are one of two NFL franchises that haven't won a playoff game, the other being the Detroit Lions. And if we go back to 1995, the Miami Dolphins haven't fielded a top 10 offense in, what is that now, 27 years. So now they've made all these moves on the offensive side of the football. They need Tua to elevate this offense and all the surrounding parts that they brought in to do something that no Dolphins team has done since 1995, a top 10 offense. We're not asking much. This is an offensive-minded league. It's time for this team and Mike McDaniel to rise to that challenge. It's one of the reasons that I believe Mike McDaniel got hired is because this team has been that bad this long on the offensive side of the football, and it's time to get back to being fun, interesting, productive, and efficient.
Yeah, and I think you're right, so to speak, Shefty, but I just don't know if we can rate them properly because we don't know what the quarterback is going to be. Like, that's the biggest question mark. Is he going to be the quarterback after this season? And right. Tim, I would push back a little bit and say this. I think Tua coming out in the draft was thought to be a guy who could be a franchise quarterback. He was taking over Justin Herbert. I mean, he was accurate. He pushed the football down the field at Alabama. And so if that was your perception of him back then, you look at him now, he's been anything but that. I mean, he's kind of a dink and dunk quarterback. He doesn't throw the football down the field. He really can't stay healthy. So if you're thinking that when you drafted him, he was a better prospect than Justin Herbert, who's now on the precipice of superstardom, I think you got to really wonder if you made the wrong pick a few years ago. And so my perception of Tua has drastically changed from that standpoint.
Well, not only have the Dolphins had a collective offensive drought that Shefty referenced and Tim, all three of you referenced, to be candid, quarterback's been a major issue for them. They currently have the longest active drought of seasons without a Pro Bowl quarterback. The last Dolphins quarterback to be named to the Pro Bowl, Dan Marino, back in 1995. It has been more than a while since they've had a Pro Bowl quarterback. Last week, our own Bill Barmel released his rankings for the best and worst off seasons for all 32 teams. Here's a look at those rankings, which includes seven playoff teams from last year ranking in the bottom half of the league, the Steelers, Titans, 49ers, Patriots, Cowboys, Raiders, and Cardinals all in that bottom half. Start with Shefty. What stands out to you about the fact that there were seven playoff teams in the bottom half of this list?
That there are some teams that have some major questions, and also the Seattle Seahawks at the bottom of the list, a lot riding on the Seahawks this year. Russell Wilson traded to Denver, and yes, they've been able to basically build up some depth on their roster, but they've got a major question mark at the quarterback position right now. Geno Smith maybe goes into camp as the favorite. Drew Locke also there, and also New Orleans bet big on this season with the belief that it can overtake Tampa at the expense, perhaps, of 2023 when the Eagles hold their first-round pick. So New Orleans is betting that it thinks it's going to be as good as the Saints believe they are. We'll find out whether they're right.
Tim, you wanted to focus on the bottom five here specifically, and sometimes healthy disagreement can be good. So what about the Falcons? Stands out to you.
Well, you know, I think the reason, one of the reasons that Atlanta's down at 31 was that they kind of flirted with Deshaun Watson, but they weren't able to land him. And I think sometimes the best deal that you do is maybe the one you don't do, which is, you know, guarantee a quarterback $80 million more than any other player has ever been guaranteed in the National Football League with all of the stuff surrounding him. There's a massive amount of risk for the Cleveland Browns. It may not work out in their favor depending on how all this unfolds. And so I think in some ways for Atlanta, the fact that you're willing to walk away from it after being involved, I don't know that that's necessarily a bad thing.
So, Book, what stood out to you on this list? 1 through 32, a lot to choose from.
I just think the stock that you're putting in Russell Wilson's basket, if you look at team one, it's the Denver Broncos. That's Russell Wilson's new team. If you look at team 32, that's the Seattle Seahawks. That's his old team. And I think it's really interesting that we look at Russell Wilson leaving Seattle, going to Denver and saying, can Russell be the piece? We know what they said in Seattle. He won with the defense and the Legion of Boom and the running game. And the reason he's going to Denver is to prove if we can win because of him. And that is all of a sudden going to have them having the best offseason. We don't even know what kind of player we're going to get in Seattle when all the chips are pushed on the table for Russell Wilson. I just think that dichotomy to me is really, really interesting. 1 and 32 both involve Russell Wilson.
And Phil, to jump back in quickly, not to be negative all the time, how about number one? Like, the Bucs aren't number one, but yet they went from Kyle Trask going to be their quarterback to Tom Brady is back as their quarterback. Like, I don't know how that doesn't automatically put you back, like, at the top of the list. Like, you decided to play. Number one, we got it.
Yeah, having Tom Brady in your roster, generally a good thing. Hey, we do have time for one more thing here on NFL Live, and the story that simply will not stop. How about this? Mike Trout, who was called perhaps the worst commissioner in fantasy football history by Tommy Pham earlier today. He declined to comment on whether Jock Peterson violated the rules of the fantasy league. He said he is unsure if he'll resign as commissioner for this coming season. Quote, every commissioner I know good food, he said. Shefty, Mike Trout is getting dragged unjustly.
Yeah, it's not fair to Mike Trout. I mean, we know the commissioner of the War Room League is Seth Markman. He absolutely has done a worse job than Mike Trout. There's no doubt in my mind about that. There are other commissioners that have done a horrible job, too. Mike Trout is the innocent victim here. Leave him alone. He's doing what he can to make sure that that league flourishes. We're big Mike Trout fans. Come on.
I can't figure out how the best baseball player in the world is also the commissioner of the Fantasy League. NFL Live is back tomorrow.